Huang Xihua, NPC Deputy and Deputy Secretary General of Huizhou, Guangdong Province, suggests again that the legal marriageable age should be lowered to the age of 18. If enacted, will this be able to tackle China's low birth rate problem? It seemed to be what she's aiming at. But let's talk more about where does this suggestion come from?
Right, exactly. So Huang Xihua, NPC Deputy and Deputy Secretary General of Huizhou, Guangdong Province, said, as estimation goes, every couple should have at least 2.2 babies on average to keep the population from decreasing. According to the National Bureau of Statistics, from 2010 to 2015, the average fertility rate is 1.2, so maybe not even close to that number, which means for each generation that isn't reaching the 2.2, the population will decrease by 36%, and if it continues at a rate of 1.2. So according to Huang, Singapore started to encourage fertility since 1988 and saw fertility rate was 1.62 at that time. The rate of the 5 years after they started to encourage it was accordingly 1.96, 1.75, 1.87, 1.77, and 1.76. This means even if childbirth policy encourages fertility, the fertility rate will not increase drastically or quickly. Huang suggests that parents should have the right to decide on how many babies they want to have. And she also suggests lowering the marriageable age to increase the fertility rate. So this is interesting because I did my own little research on this. And so in most of the U.S., the age that is common and almost pretty much by law is 18. In Nebraska, the minimum age for marriage is 19. In Mississippi, 21. But there's some states that have special circumstances where you can go to court or parent approval, sometimes both, to be able to marry a little bit younger. But for the sake of this argument, it's 18. Yet, in the U.S., to maintain our population, we have to reach a 2.1 rate. And right now, we're at 2.03. And I think it was in 2002 where we saw one of the lowest numbers we've seen in population birth rate happening. So this is a problem in the U.S., and I don't think, you know, the 18 years of the year of 18 that allows kids to get married at that age has solved that problem in our country. So will that solve it? Will that solve it here in China is my question, I guess.
It's a good point, Tim. You know, I agree with the deputy, NPC deputy, that she's actually trying to give young people more freedom in terms of when, at what age to get married, right? Currently, for a man, you have to reach at age of 22 in order to get married, woman 20. So now you have a large range to choose from, actually. So basically, that means like you enjoy more freedom. But at the same time, I disagree with her. That is like, marriage age at 18 probably will not solve the problem of the fertility rate issue. That actually can be solved probably with multiple factors, such as like a financial incentive to encourage people to have a second or third child. The problem, the challenge right now, if you talk to the young people in Beijing and Shanghai, people would say they have so much concern about their housing, about education, about their own career development. So basically, there's no time or hard to find time to have get married and have a child. To have a second child is a brave act. To have a third one, not really allowed now, usually is not a choice at all. It's non-issue for a lot of people.
Yeah, I wanted to also ask you, so in this research that I did for the reason behind even in the U.S., this kind of still we're almost to 2.1, but, 2.03 isn't there. And so looking at this in 2014, from the Population Reference Bureau, they kind of started to talk about why in the U.S. we see these kind of lower birth rates. One of the things is that, of course, in the U.S., recession was a big reason why, I guess, marriage wasn't happening. In 2014, 18% of men lived with their parents. These are men from 25 to 34. There were no jobs, so of course this delayed marriages. Not just that, but what's really interesting and what I think might also apply here to China is that there were societal changes. Women were more likely to enroll and finish college. Not just that, women became the growing labor, were a growing labor force. I guess, the recession in the U.S. really hit male jobs harder. So women became the bread winners, and by doing so, I guess this had an adverse effect on the population, booming or even becoming close to 2.1. So, you know, here in China, I also see that there's a growing female labor force.
And, yes.
And these kind of things where women who are the ones that give birth to kids are pursuing a career that don't want to stop in their career, maybe want to realize their potential and stuff. And maybe this is the kind of thing that's created this kind of less people having babies.
That's right. You know, on Weibo, there are a lot of criticism against Ms. Huang about her proposal. Actually, her proposal, if you simplify her proposal into two parts, that's the first part. Second part is probably is more meaningful. She is suggesting like to completely scrap off the two-child policy, basically allowing people to have as many children as possible. At what age is completely up to you. And when to have your first child, second child, or even third child, it's completely up to you. That's your right. I think that her suggestion is, I have my total support. I think the government should do that probably very, very soon, this year or next year, the next few years. You have to adjust the policy to encourage people to be brave to have a second child. Mm. As Ryan said, absolutely, like, you know, recession hit hard on people's choices, on people's future prospect. If you stay with your parents, you don't have your own home, individual home, independent home, it's very difficult to get married and to start a family.
Yeah, and 18 doesn't always necessarily mean like kids are just jumping to have babies. In fact, there's been a decline in the U.S. fertility that has been driven primarily by a trend of young adults to postpone having children. I guess the birth rate among 15 to 19-year-olds has been cut in half between the 1990s and 2013 from 60 births per 1,000 women to just 27, the lowest level ever in recorded history. And they're attributing this to the increased use of contraceptive access. And in fact, they say, and this again comes from the Population Reference Bureau, this sharp drop in teen births is a positive development since children born to teen mothers are more likely to be poor, drop out of school, and be unemployed as adults. So in talking about this problem, I think we see the societal changes having a bigger impact than maybe just the age of allowing people to have or to be married. And in fact, I think encouraging a kind of a marital age to happen younger could lead to more teen births. But is that necessarily, as I had said from what the Population Reference Bureau said, is that necessarily a good thing if this means these kids are more likely to be poor, drop out of school, or be unemployed?
Exactly. I mean, if you want to be a responsible adult, a responsible dad or mother, probably you will think again about whether I should get married at age of 18, even if it is allowed. Because at age of 18, you are likely, you know, preparing for college entrance examination or just get into college, and you don't want to get married or be burdened with marriage or with a kid while you are spending 4 years in the college, right? It's impossible. So some people criticize the proposal that, you know, if you allow people to get married at 18, and then probably that will likely to happen in the rural areas, in the poor areas, and then that will create a vicious circle. Basically, probably the parents, the young parents, are not that well educated, and then they get married at a very early age, 18, and then you have a child. The child will not receive a very good cultural background, educational background, and then this is a vicious circle. That's people's worry too.
Yes, I think that's also very thoughtful and well considered a position that parents should be in my view, that you need to think about how are you going to be able to raise the kids financially,
yes.
and also are you mature enough mentally
right.
to become a parent, as this is the life of a child that you bring to this world, and when you think along those lines, that puts you off in having babies, at least until you feel you are ready, but that's usually quite a bit later than 18 years old. And also, I think with a policy like this one, this is only the discussion period right now. There's no sign of this being added into law right now. But we will see very different reaction, I think, from different parts of China, as we are a vast country with such diverse population that even in the rural areas, some remote areas, people are saying this could be a good thing, when in certain local cultures, in maybe more rural areas, that young marriage is happening anyway. And if you allow 18 to become the legal marriageable age, then at least the law is there to protect both parties in marriage, and maybe that could be a good thing, but this is going to be reflected so differently in urban areas, as I see so many messages coming in on our WeChat platform that people are simply thinking about the cost. And I think, Ryan, you're absolutely correct in pointing out that the economic climate will affect people's inclination of having babies or not, because you need to raise the child. And in urban cities, there has also been other estimations that 50% of your earnings could go to raising a child. And our listeners, a few of you, I see you, such as Savannah, is saying that lowering the housing price will be a good way to encourage people to have babies when people can have their own property and feel safe enough, have a roof over their heads to have fun and have a baby and raise the baby.
I mean, I look at this, and, you know, I also looked at figures, you know, the time the U.S. had the baby boom, that was 1946 to 1965, that was 3.04 babies per woman, the average, 1950s being 3.7. This was simpler times, where 18 and a high school education actually got you places. But we live in a time, folks, where 18 is the start. You are still a kid in many ways. You have education that you do. One in four people, I think, in the U.S. have a college education. You know, it's not becoming something that's special anymore. And I imagine that's something that's trending and happening here in China. It's the start of the race to become the adult. I think we're seeing that now people should be waiting till they're... It's a different time in the world, where we have to probably wait till we get the skills to become the labor force the world of the future needs. But having an age and encouraging people to get married right when the race starts, then they become parents that have to support a kid and maybe won't get the skills they need to properly give this kid what they need, so that this kind of like education and whatnot isn't propagated by a family that's continually having kids at 18. People need education, and I think it's better to encourage them to get married after that, which happens maybe in your later 20s.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense to me. And also, I think another area of focus in any discussion for this topic should be, are you able to create a family environment that is good for the child's growth, and not just think about the age of having a child or the younger age of having a child, but are you capable of creating that environment of giving birth, raising, and leading this life into having a promising future?
Right. You know, writing, you know, marriageable at 18, nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
But the real decision about when to have a baby is really a personal decision.
Yes. Mm. Oh, that is so well said. And also, just to highlight one fact that universally in most countries, it seems to be 18 is the legal marriageable age for the majority of these countries. So this is not an outrageous proposal.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So, you know, let's be calm and do some rational analysis before you jump on saying something is completely over the top or not, okay? You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Young, Ryan Price, and Xi Qingduo.